This episode of the Ottawa Entrepreneurs Podcast is brought to you by Extension Marketing, the marketing agency that specializes in unique needs and budgets of small to medium-sized businesses. They provide turnkey marketing solutions that get results. You can find out more today at extensionmarketing.com. Now here's your host, Pat Whalen.
Thanks, Ed, for taking the time to join us today. Really appreciate it.
Honestly, my pleasure, Pat. I've always been inspired by you, and I'm blessed to be here today. Thank you.
Ed, why don't we start off to tell our listeners and our viewers a little bit about yourself?
Well, for those that know me, the last thing I have an issue with is talking, so I'll get started. I think in the spirit of what we're talking about today, it's, you know, a little bit of entrepreneurship and a little bit of, companies and things like that. So for me, I started the crazy entrepreneurial journey back when I was a teenager, and I thought, you know, I got to make some money to make my way through university. Didn't get a lot of handouts from my parents or anything like that. So I had to work at it. I started a landscape company in the, in the Ottawa area, but in the space of realistically just becoming somebody that could provide a little bit of work and some help for our clients. And I don't know, I never really thought I would keep doing it forever, but lo and behold, 33 plus years later, I exited. I sold to a company that was looking to expand on the product and make it a little bit bigger. There's some challenges with that. But along the way, I bought and sold a few other companies. I started a software company. Kind of feel like I've been all over the board back again. But I think the older I get, the more I look at it as it's all part of just a big mass of ingredients about who you are and how you kind of make who you are right now. So enjoyed the ride, and it's been a great trip.
Ed, was it strange for you from, being singularly focused for those 30 plus years of running one company and now all of a sudden to be not free of that? I don't mean, not trying to make it sound like a jail sentence, but, in terms of mental capacity anyway, a little bit free of that to explore other things. Was that a strange transition for you?
Every single business owner I have ever met that has sold a company has some remorse a little bit and some bit of loss that they feel, for sure. I think it's probably like selling a childhood home or your first home in life. You sell it, and then all of a sudden, what are they doing to the house? And I think the best advice I heard is when you sell a house, if somebody decides to paint the kitchen a different color, so be it. They're the ones there and they got to do it. But that's hard, especially for me that, my first company, Hanson Lawn and Gardens, was an absolutely felt like it was one of my children. You grow it, you adapt to things, you make changes, you make some really tough decisions along the way that affect clients, they affect your staff, your teammates. So yeah, a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, but a lot of learning lessons. If you think about it, it's no different than starting kindergarten and going all the way through school. And each year you learn something new that you got to let go of the previous year. And you just got to keep that, trajectory moving forward. I would say 3 years later, I'm certainly past it now and those kind of things, but I learned way more from it than I would say any negatives that came about it. And the company that I dealt with in the transition, it was a good experience. So I would say overall package, I think it was a great learning and a great experience for sure.
Would your advice be to anyone listening that's either just sold or thinking of selling their business to really kind of brace themselves for that first, is it 6 months to a year where you've got to make those adjustments of letting things go and, people coming in doing things differently than you, or is it a little bit longer than that?
That's a great question. Sometimes, so again, I'm going to just kind of look at it from a couple of different perspectives. I think number one, the first thing you said, because you're an entrepreneur, your brain set right off the bat is, well, that's not going to happen to me. I'm going to make it this way and I'm going to fight my way through it. In my case, it was a little bit different maybe than others in the sense that I stuck around. I stayed on as president for a year. And as this company sort of evolved and learned what they wanted to do and how they wanted to do things, I stayed on through an NDA of non-disclosure to the team. And that was decided upon amongst myself and the ownership of the other company. And that was tough. Like that part, I think if I had to do over again, I think I'd probably extract that. It was very challenging because emotionally you had detached in one case, but you had to stay in the game in another case. But I think that listen to what people tell you, I think is the number one. Like my lawyer told me at least 10 times, by the way, if you make it through this, I'll be surprised. You're going to want to leave quicker. And, you know, all those kind of things. He wasn't wrong. And I think that people also too, with their, you're going to get frustrated and this is going to be a problem. And it, by the way, it isn't because the company that takes over is doing something better or worse or inappropriate. It's just different. And you've built a way of doing things in your scaling and scoping of a company and how you know, it can't be any different than a manager of a sports franchise walks in and all of a sudden he's got to change pace. It doesn't mean that it's right or wrong. It just means it's different, you know? So, but I think, yeah, I've got to listen to people a little closer and maybe not, you'll have your own way of doing it. I think that the first few days, some things are going to happen that are big changes. And then I just think you kind of got to adapt yourself over time. I think that's the biggest one. But I think you also have to prepare to break away. You have to be, your mindset has to get quicker on what's next. What's the next thing? How are you going to get out? How are you going to change? What's next for you? Because if you don't have that, most entrepreneurs that I know, high percentage, they're not built for quote unquote retirement. That's not how your brain works. Like, what are you going to do? I mean, you know, go on a vacation and hang around. Your brain won't solve problems then. Your brain isn't going to be ready to continue and grow. And I don't think people, just because you get old or you've done something a long time, I think those are some of the people you can learn the most from if you actually pay attention and listen to some of them. But yeah, that's a long-winded way of answering that question.
Yeah. So take us through some of the coaching that you're doing now of other entrepreneurs.
Well, I think the quick highlight is this, is that I had the great experience of being a member of Tech Canada, which is, I was blessed by having a fantastic chair who is now the mayor of Ottawa. And I loved being a member, and I not only loved being a member, but I also loved the fact that the team that you create in that membership was an absolute blessing for me, because when I was selling my company, I had a table filled with 15 other CEOs, business owners, presidents of companies who could help and assist. And by help and assist, I don't necessarily mean that they're writing a script for you. It's you have ideas to bounce off of this group. Lucked out, had a speaker that really changed my perspective on things. And then I jumped in. And I jumped into the fact that, okay, sold my company. And this is one of the primary things I wanted to do was help other entrepreneurs realize that there is a safe space, there is a vulnerable space, and there is a place for them to be their authentic self and not feel like they're being judged on what they want to try and do. Because sometimes as entrepreneurs, we want to do things and people think you are crazy. You know, it's never going to work. You know, could you imagine, like, I don't know, somebody like Jeff Bezos sitting in a room saying, yeah, someday everybody who gets a delivery in this world is going to come from one of my vans. You'd think they were nuts. Like, oh, you can't do that. It's too big. It's too, you know, I'm not saying that that's everybody or that we're Bezoses, but it's still pretty impressive to see what the mindset can do. I have learned more from being a coach of entrepreneurs and business owners than I ever did in the 30 years that I did what I did to in business. Like listening to these people, you know, focus on what their dreams are and what their aspirations are, what their goals are, and then incubating that, giving them what they need, helping them along with the right the right information and sometimes asking them the tough questions. Have you looked into this? Have you thought about this? What about that? You're not saying they're wrong, but just kind of some gentle nudges about what they're thinking about or what they're doing. So it's been absolutely rewarding. I couldn't ask for a better place to be. And everybody who's in my tech group, I think I get more from them than they get from me. So I got a lot of work to turn the table on that.
But isn't that an interesting dynamic? Ed, as you know this, years ago, when I was involved with the Auto 67s, Jeff Hunt and I started a little side sports consulting business. And I would go around Canada and talk to other primarily junior teams and tell them what they were doing wrong and, you know, what we'd suggest to do right. And every time I'd come back and Jeff would say, so how'd it go? I'd say, it was great. And here's all the things I learned. It was incredible. It really was incredible.
It's funny because, you know, I learned through different things and different associations in my life. Landscape Ontario would be one for sure, where, you know, the classic, there's a classic Tony DiGiovanni, who is the former executive director line, where he said that if you got 10 people around a table and you don't want to share because you're afraid of giving up a secret, if I give up one secret, I get nine back. Yeah. And I think that's where you, you know, kind of lose that focus. And I also, though, in that same instance, you don't have to take every piece of advice. You don't have to learn, like, even sometimes learning what not to do is actually a big learning curve. You know, you can look at something and say, "Ooh, I just saw the inside of that and I do not want to do that. That is not what I'm thinking." That has value more than we think too. So sometimes, you know, you go to a conference or you go to a workshop or a learning session and you don't get, you know, you don't get anything out of it. Actually, I think you do. I think you get something out of it, even knowing, you know, what not to do. But yes, the tables turning is a big lesson. And that is, you know, it's keeping things and hoarding them to yourself. And I'm not going to share this with anybody. If I could go back 30 years and start over again in that mindset would be crazy. Would be, I don't know where I would go, because I probably wasted, no joke, as a business owner, at least 15 years of tire spinning and tire changing and just not going anywhere. As I would say, running on a treadmill, going, you know, making distance on the numbers, but not in location. You're just still looking out the same window.
Right. And one thing I know about you is that you're a lifelong learner. So do you want to, let's spend a little bit of time about that, because I think you and I share that passion. But as entrepreneurs, do you find when you're coaching entrepreneurs, do a lot of them think they have all the answers, or they're pretty vulnerable with you, or they're pretty open with you, and they're willing to realize, you know what, maybe I have to learn some new things?
Well, first off, I'm going to say that is like an absolutely demon of a question, because, you know, and by the way, thank you. You and I sometimes text our favorite book. Hey, I just read this book, Pat. I think this would be good, you know, and I've appreciated that over the years. I think that those who are ready to learn and open to it are there. You're weaponizing yourself. The more you learn, the more you grow, the more you grow, the stronger you get, the bigger your roots, the harder it is to knock you over. And the list goes on and on. So I do think that some people think that, you know, the classic, and, you know, hopefully it's okay to say here, but this would be my authentic self, you know, that your shit doesn't stink. And the thing, and the reality is that it does. We all make mistakes, but it's okay to fight your way through that, but there could be a better way. And listening and being open to information, I think, couldn't be more important. Sometimes I read a book, I go through the book, and I think to myself, you know, this wasn't very good. And then I'll go back and read it as I've grown. You know, actually, a classic one for me was The Obstacle is the Way. I started reading it at one point. I got a couple, and this wasn't for me. I just, yeah, whatever. Later on, when I was struggling with some stuff about business and trying to figure out a solution to something, I got, you know, hey, read this book. I read it. It was the greatest life changer right there. So I wasn't ready to read it, if that makes sense. The only thing that I would hazard in that is that social media and everything now creates this environment where it's a fire hose of learning. Like, you know, you think about it, you could read books, you could listen to podcasts, you could do this, you could, like, the list goes on and on. The challenge is what do I listen to? There's so much information. I don't know if I have the answer as to what to listen to, but I know that sometimes I get an emotion. I can feel a certain thing, like I need to learn this. But in that same token, I think another one is just we learn a lot, but we don't think a lot. And I think some of the changing is thinking. And I've learned that in the last few years. And that's been a game changer for me is that yes, learn, but then think about it. And thinking about it, by the way, to me means, I don't know, going for a walk without a podcast or something on your in your head, and think about what you just learned. If you start always learning, always learning, always learning, always reading, always do, then you'll never be able to absorb it. You'll never write a test on what you've learned to figure out if you actually knew the course material or not, right? But yeah, I think the more people are open and the more people are vulnerable, they'll learn how to learn, and the more you can learn isn't necessarily by the volume, it's the retention of what you get in front of you. So I think everybody's a bit different. One year I decided I wanted to read 52 books, which is possible for me. I read fast and all that kind of stuff, but it's too many books. It was too much. It was too much reading, and then I didn't get a chance to absorb each book.
And Archie comments don't count, right?
No, and neither does Jughead. So I got to be careful on those. And no, it's but you're right. When you're reading it, that's it's too much. It's
Yeah.
you know, I'm not saying sometimes you read a book and you need a couple of weeks. The other thing that I've kind of learned is like I also go back and reread
Me
books
too. Me
sometimes
too.
that I you know, Viktor Frankl for me, I go back, I read that at least once a year because I just got to ground myself every once in a while and realize that staying in the moment, you know, actually I was talking to someone today and they told me that their biggest lesson was, and I'm reading this from a, because I wrote it down, is I am where I am. And I thought, you know, this is got to resonate for a little bit and think about that. And I kind of liked it. So yeah,
Nice.
appreciate it. You know, it's, learning is a key thing, though, and I thought that when I was done, you know, for someone like myself, I think sometimes I'm a little overeducated, and I don't think that that education necessarily from a from an institution, don't want to get in trouble here, but from institutions isn't really all the learning that you get in life. The life is, you know, living and failing at things. You know, if I could list all the failures, probably way more than the successes. So.
Well, I often have people ask me because they know I read a lot. Well, how do you decide what to read? And I said, you know what? I have about it's just and everyone's different, but in my case, kind of 4 to 6 people that I like to follow, and I want it to be a manageable number. And the minute they stop resonating with me, they come off my roster, and I bring in a new person. But otherwise, you can't possibly absorb all this. And I find with a lot of people that I'm consulting with or coaching. Is, you know, we'll put them in a direction of a certain learning and they'll come back 2 weeks later. Oh, I heard this new thing over here from this person. I said, well, hang on, did you finish the first learning? Well, yeah, I got about 10%. Well, hang on, did you finish? No, I didn't finish. Like, finish it. Yeah, unless you really don't like it, then jump off. But
Yeah, but even
don't make that your excuse for every time you get introduced to a thought leader that you don't like them, therefore you're not going to learn.
and I think sometimes you're in a different mood for a different thought
Yep,
leader at
agreed.
different times of your cycle, of your scalabilities in your businesses and even your maturity. You
Agreed.
know, you're just not ready for some of them. But that's a great story. I like that, Pat.
So Ed, we've covered off a few things. We're going to jump into some other questions, but first one I want to hit you up with is someone listening that's currently running a business but struggling. What's kind of one core piece of advice you'd give them?
One piece. That's a tough one.
Well, you can do a couple. Whatever you.
No, I hear you, but part of that's condensing it. I think ask yourself if you really believe in what you're doing. I think that's probably for me number one. If you don't really believe in what you're doing, then don't do it. You know, get out of it. Like some people, I think I learned a long time ago that if you're just doing a business because it's a job and you know, you're kind of like, yes, let's go. If you're an entrepreneur, typically most entrepreneurs, they start doing something and then they just think they can do it better. Well, how am I going to do it better? I don't know. What are you doing to make it better? What is your secret sauce? Can you explain it in an elevator speech? Can you move on to something quicker? But the other one is that, you know, every single person we read about, you know, I don't know whether it's, you know, Phil Knight, Shoe Dog Millionaire, or like one of those kind of things, is like how close they were to failing. You're close, close, close. Even my wife and I just went recently on a trip and we were this close to quitting. Actually, I'll say I was, my wife wasn't, but I was this close to quitting on something that we were trying to find, in particular, the Princess Di's Memorial Garden, and you know, navigating, honestly, ready to pack it in, couldn't find it, and literally it was on the other side of a hedge. Like that's how close, and we've been looking for, you know, half an hour. But it just made me realize too, it's the same thing. You're close to things, just keep going. Like the only thing you're going to regret later, if you are somebody who I like looks at regret that way, yeah, just don't stop. Just keep going. It's okay. And other people's opinions don't really matter, especially if they're the, if you wouldn't take advice from that person, then don't take their opinion.
That's good advice unto itself. Ed, what about someone listening that is thinking of starting a business? They've had this idea for a while, and they just can't seem to pull the trigger.
Well, if you can't seem to pull the trigger, then maybe you shouldn't. That's one thing that I would probably say. Because if you're not ready to fail, then don't do it. I mean, I don't know many entrepreneurs that jump into a business and all of a sudden they're making millions. You know, the reality is that most entrepreneurs have failed more times than that person's even thought of doing. Just because they have a success over here doesn't mean there weren't tons of failures on the way. You just have to be ready to be okay with failing, or, you know, I know this is like overkill, but I think it's, David Goggins once said that he wants to, he, what drives him forward is he wants to win the race. And then, you know, the person asked him, well, is it because you want to beat other people? And he says, no, I want to win my race. And I take that for an entrepreneur's journey too, is that everybody's in the same race. Everybody's trying to start a company, trying to be successful, trying to make everything work, trying to have a great team, trying to do this, trying to do that. But that's over here. If you're over here in your spectrum, you want to try to be the same over here. You want to work at that. You want to try to create your craft so that you've got something different. If you need instant success, then probably don't start, would be my advice.
Gotcha. Ed, before we let you go, I know you've always done great work in the community. Is there a charity too that you're involved with that you'd like to talk about?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I don't say my charity of choice because I know that everything that people do, and there's so many valuable things that people do, especially in the, you know, let's say the greater Ottawa community, and so many great things. But you know, I in my life, I lost my father to colon cancer, and that started a journey of raising money for the Ottawa Cancer Foundation. It's called Take a Swing at Cancer. Started it in 2003, 20, or yeah, 2003. Wow, crazy times. And here we are in 2025. You do the math on how many years later. We are still going strong. And we have raised, and I say we, myself, Dwayne Francis, we're really the two original founders of it. And then since then, we've got some great people on board, Steve Lacroix, Eric Gill, Matt Jacques. And a few other people throughout the journey as well have been great jumping on, and we've, you know, we are going to push over the $500,000 raised for the Cancer Foundation this year. All
Wow.
goes towards, it used to go towards cancer care. Now it goes towards the cancer hub, which is a totally different story, and how it works, but it's amazing for the community, and it's a great way for everybody who is experiencing cancer. And as we know, it is not just the person who has cancer. Everyone around them is affected. And that's how to be a partner to the person who it is, how to be a friend, how to be a brother, how to be a sister, how to be a mother, how to be a brother. Like the list goes on and on. And I think that we all, that's something we all don't have the answers to. But it's nice to be around other people that can help you and coach you through that. So very proud to be a part of that and be a part of some small successes along the way.
That's amazing, Ed. Thanks so much for all that work involved with that charity. Ed, before we let you go, any closing comments? Where can our listeners find out more about your coaching services or anything else you'd like to talk about?
Well, you know, I think one is LinkedIn. That's a great one. I think, you know, I'm Ed Hansen on LinkedIn. Nothing confusing there. Pretty straightforward. I think that's always a great way if you want to check somebody out. I mean, don't get me wrong. You could give you a website. My website is E&L Consulting. And that's where I start most of the things that I do, whether it's keynoting or coaching or Tech Canada. And I love that experience. And honestly, for anybody, if you have show notes and you put my links to any of the things I do, please reach out. Honestly, I love a coffee. I can be bought for one for a conversation because I really think that the more I missed out on when I was younger of thinking I didn't, you know, I don't have time for that. I think now I've learned that I do have time for that. And I do want to listen. And I do want to take the opportunity to learn from as many people as I possibly can.
Thanks so much for doing this day, Ed. Really appreciate your time.
Pat, thank you. Honestly, I really appreciate the opportunity.
If your company or organization is looking to improve your marketing, go to the Extension Marketing website at extensionmarketing.com and book a discovery call today.